He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, and president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got chartered financial analyst, Barry Kai. We've got a lot to talk about here today. The market is speaking. Here's what the market is saying. The Dow is down 560 points on this last day of the second quarter of 2022 and the last day of the half, the first half of the year. The Dow now sits at 30,475. So much for that rally last week. Okay, we've got right now, let's see, the S&P 500 is down about 1.6, I want to say. The S&P 500 is now down 2%. 3,742, thank goodness for inverse funds. The S&P 500 at 3,742, down 77 points. Meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ, it's down 317 points or 2.84%. It's at 10,859. The Russell 2000 down 2%. What is going on? Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. Has crude oil finally reached the demand destruction point? It's down $2 per barrel to 107.80. Gold, up $2, 18.19. And silver's down 29 cents at 20.44. And last but not least, the 10-year, a little bit of flight to safety there. We may have an inversion. I've got to check that. We were within 3 points here just a bit ago. The 10-year's at 3.02. Last time I looked, the 2-year was at 3.00, so 2 basis points. And get this,
3 basis points at the moment, yeah.
Oof, get this, Bitcoin down 1,207 as the run on the bank continues. It's at 18,879. On that happy note, welcome to the Best Inverse Funds Now show.
Started the year at 47,000. So that's just year to date. Remember what it got up to, what, 66, 69? Something
yes.
Like that at one point.
You know, so welcome to the Best Inverse Funds Now show today on this last day of the first half of 2022. Well, you know what? I mean, last week we sat, we watched that rally in the market. It was 3-5%, something like that for the week. We were basically even for the week last night. We started to hear the grumblings. How come the market was up and my account was down? Well, of course, many other weeks this year, the markets were way down, and our accounts were either flat or up a little bit. We are actually up today, last time I looked, because of the strength in the inverse ETFs today, while the market is reeling. The big breaking news, I mean, this is on top of the market was already down. The futures were down big this morning, and now we find out that Joe Biden backs a change to the Senate rules, which would get rid of the filibuster. In other words, Manchin and Sinema can no longer stop whatever they want to go ahead and do over there at the Senate. So we're going to see where that goes. That seems to be triggered by the abortion ruling. Roe v. Wade, and some other rulings here recently. Yesterday we had just a mixed day all over. Another sell-off in the oil stocks. I'm thinking that demand destruction is starting to hit. Okay, it's starting to hurt. And, you know, I was reading yesterday about the charter fishing trips out of Charleston. They're way down, Barry. Not that the fishing's not any good. The price of gas has made it just exorbitant.
Yeah, my buddy owns a charter boat in Destin, Florida, and he's owned it for years. Thankfully, he's been pretty booked. I think he's only got a few more places open for July, but they had to like you talked about your buddy guide that's here. They had to raise their prices this year, and luckily they end up having a lot of repeat business over there. So
yeah,
but I mean there's been times where he's gone out on a commercial trip, been out for two nights, comes back and the price of fuel is up 25 cents. Between the time he left, so
yeah,
he doesn't fill up as much as he used to.
He
does it partially instead of filling. Topping it off every time.
Saw a boat headed down the river, headed towards the harbor and the ocean, with four giant Yamahas on back, 600 horsepower each. And I'm going, that's probably about a half a mile per gallon. He was going about 45 miles an hour. God bless him. I'm sitting here doing a radio show, but I can imagine the gas being burnt in that thing as it had. Now, thank goodness I only have two outboards on my boat. I only have two gas tanks to fill. Overnight, global stock market's not doing well. China seems to be the exception here. China's coming out of COVID like we did back in 2020, and China seems to be a little more friendly towards their stock market and their publicly traded companies than before. Jerome Powell yesterday said a soft landing is feasible, but will be quite challenging. Okay, I'm thinking about that. You're coming in for a landing. I used to live in San Diego. That's one of the most dangerous airports, although we've never had an accident there that I can remember. But you drop in out of the sky right over the downtown skyline of San Diego, and there's that runway, Lindbergh Field. And at the end of that runway is San Diego Bay. I mean, you don't have much margin for error there. Imagine if the pilot came on and said, a soft landing is feasible here, but it could be quite challenging. That yeah. doesn't really – I'm getting under the seat. I'm getting out my pad, my floating thing, putting my oxygen on. I think that has something to do with rocking the markets. And he's raising interest rates. He has no choice. Very aggressively in an economy that's slowing, which is totally counter to what is normally done. And in the face of all of this inflation. Now, we did get the PCE price index. What's your take on that real quick?
Yeah, essentially flat, right,
flat.
To a certain
okay.
degree. So, well. I mean, you have, which I guess is better and better than most, right? But, the main thing I think, core PCE was at 4.7% year over year versus 4.8 was expected. It was 4.9 prior. You look at one of the interesting things was, real disposable income fell by 0.1%. Some of the personal consumption expenditures decreased. So, that could tie in, right, to some of your demand destruction comments, and I think, one thing is, we're certainly captive to a certain degree where, you almost have to. You got to fill up, and so maybe the demand destruction could be in other places of the market. I saw an interesting stat today because you were talking about earnings and expectations for this earnings season, and I saw where earnings growth is expected to be about 5%.
Yes.
And if you take out the energy names, right?
Yeah,
it's negative 3%. So it's a very very interesting dynamic in terms of what we have to spend our money on versus what you may want to spend your money on.
Exactly. And, I think we could have a negative quarter in earnings, which would be the first one in a long, long time. Now, here's another big wig out there that carries a lot of clout, the European Central Bank. Christine Lagarde cast doubt on a return to a low inflation environment. We had a low inflation environment for so long, since 1972, really, it started dropping and never went back. But she said yesterday, I don't think we're going to go back to that environment of low inflation. There are forces that have been unleashed
One Kathy Wood mentioned a couple of days ago, and that she was wrong, in regards to inflation. And
I've heard her admit she was wrong.
I was waiting for you to see that mention that article a couple of days ago, but I did see that. So,
yeah, what has changed? I don't know what has been unleashed. I don't know exactly what has been unleashed here that's going to keep inflation high.
That makes me
scratch my head just a little bit and wonder.
Hmm. Well, for them, they don't. I mean, you're looking at, today you've got 104 on the euro to the dollar. I mean, normally that's in the 1 to 111, 115 range. So, I mean, their euros aren't purchasing as many of our goods, either. So there's they certainly have some longer term issues. I think they had issues prior to
talk about longer term issues. Winter. Okay. When we come back, here's the prediction for Europe this winter, which is not that far off. You're talking 4 or 5 months here. What might they expect when winter arrives this year? That when we come back. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite on the Best Inverse Funds Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Europeans may want to buy some extra blankets. Winter is coming, and Europe may be out of gas when it arrives. Okay, not several months into winter, Barry, but when it arrives. European natural gas prices continue to rise Wednesday as Russian gas imports to the continent continued to fall. Prices for July delivery were up 7% in early trading Wednesday to the highest level since shortly following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But that's not so much the problem, the rising price. It's going to be the supply. In Q1, Europe imported 30% of the world's LNG, according to Morgan Stanley. That's the LNG that's available out there on the market, a more than 50% increase from 2021 and double the pre-pandemic levels. Well, as a result, European natural gas inventories rose rapidly, calming markets and pressuring gas prices lower. But now, were European gas inventories to return to 100% of storage capacity, they would still only count for 7 months of pre-pandemic Russian pipeline imports. Well, that's a problem. They could run out of gas before winter even hits. So we'll be watching that very, very closely, as that is a big issue.
And that's some of the things we mentioned with Equinor. I mean, that's one of the reasons. Geographically, they're close, and they're in the LNG business. So
yeah, well, that demand destruction. I just saw it here on the river. That boat with four engines going about 100 miles an hour looked like they were headed out fishing. I just saw them going back up the river, returning home. They must have hit the gas station, saw the price, and said, "The hell with this! I'm going to the fish market." That was the weirdest thing I ever saw. Maybe they were just testing the engines. I don't know. But with the 4th of July weekend coming, I got to believe the three gas stations on the harbor are asking a pretty penny for their gas.
We were going to do hibachi at the house. Our oldest son requested, wanted hibachi.
That's
so
we
went to
idea.
The store. Went to the store to get, to get some thin sliced ribeyes.
Oh,
$37
Lord.
for the package. We ended up getting hibachi to go from the. It was basically cheap.
Yeah,
when you include our own labor, right? It was cheaper to get it to go than it was for us to cook it on our own.
Or
and
we
even growing zucchini. The zucchini's even grown in the back, so we didn't even have to pay for that.
Oh, man. You know, here's another trend I'm starting to see, okay? Well, one of the things that has indicated a strong economy here in the U.S. is a strong labor market, jobs market. But I'm starting to see layoffs in the high-tech industry. We've seen it in the mortgage industry. We're seeing it in the real estate industry. I would have to believe that the construction industry is starting to see a slowdown. Unity Software, which is one of the darlings of the work-from-home software stocks, cuts hundreds of staffers. So I am starting to see for the first time, I can't remember when was the last time I saw layoffs, but this is starting to become a little bit of a trend that we need to keep our eye on. Okay, the other big disaster here today, Bitcoin. Don't say I didn't warn you. I know everything was good when it was 66,000 and everybody was, you know, buying new boats and all kinds of things and not needing a job. Who needs a job when Bitcoin's 66,000? Well, now it falls below 19,000. Now you've got panic. You have panic selling. And this company, CoinFlex, their CEO said users may have to wait longer than expected to make withdrawals. That's not a good sign. That's a run on the bank. Okay.
That's anytime you're impeding liquidity, that's not,
I've seen some of these Bitcoin, like Galaxy Digital and others, they're having big issues with liquidity and withdrawals. I mean, this could lead to a collapse of the digital coin. We'll see what happens. The SEC turned down another Bitcoin ETF. They're just not going to allow them. And the Grayscale CEO, which is GBTC, they had an application out there for a Bitcoin ETF. They're going to sue the SEC, saying that the SEC is being arbitrary and capricious. So anyways, we'll see what happens. Coinbase is selling geolocation data to U.S. immigration enforcement agencies. Well, that's another issue with the cryptocurrencies. They're used for some dark purposes.
Did you say they're selling it?
Yes,
or are
they
sharing it?
No, selling.
Wow.
Yes, I mean that's
sharing
how...
Sharing it's one thing.
I know.
Selling it's another thing. Good
well, in August, they sold a single analytics software license to ICE for $29,000. That was followed by ICE purchasing software in September for as much as $1.4 million. Okay, so that's telling them, okay, who's using it and where they are. Neurosense climbed 66% after early data supporting Alzheimer's candidate. Okay, so here we go again. We've had several Alzheimer's candidates. That's one of the holy grails of the biotech industry. And now the stock's up 33%. This is a $4 stock. $3.65, NRSN. You know, we hope, we wish them success. It would be nice to get rid of that one, but they did have some good biomarkers so far, so I've put NRSN on my watch list going forward. You know, the solar industry, it's a tough one. It really is. On the one hand, you know, our country backs solar big time, but First Solar is complaining that they don't back it. And in fact, they're not going to build their plant in Phoenix. This is First Solar. Instead, they're going to go overseas. They rejected a new factory in the U.S. They cite uncertainties over trade policy and tax incentives. They say that it is not clear that the U.S. backs with the money, with the bucks, the solar industry. And there's still a lot going on with these tariffs on the Chinese. Here's the latest round of what happened here. A bunch of solar panels were entering the U.S. from China, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection detained products from the unnamed company. I'm thinking it was DQ.
Yeah, I don't know another one. I mean, I know there is, but I can't name another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think there's solar. Let's see. I'll think of it here in a minute. There is one other one. But they want a documentation of the source of the quartzite in the products where it originated from under the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. What next?
So not a tariff, but red tape.
We won't have solar. We won't have gas. We got a lot of wood here in South Carolina. There's no shortage of wood. Barry, start collecting firewood for the winter. Okay, we'll be right back. This is the Best Inverse Funds Now show. What's poppin'? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market is coming back a little bit. Okay, the Dow is only down 412. It was down almost 600 at one point. And the NASDAQ has also come back somewhat. Now, the S&P is down 56 right now, 1.5%. And the NASDAQ down 234 or 2.1%. It was down about 3% not too long ago. Well, we'll be watching. Oh, by the way, this first half of the year, 2022, has been the worst first half of the year in the last 50 years. Well, that's a nice little statistic there. What will the second half bring? Well, there's a lot of what ifs out there. I would say that the direction, the momentum, the sentiment, the inflation, the rising interest rates,
midterm elections,
they don't favor a robust second half right now. So we're going to just play it by ear. You know, I said in my newsletter last Friday, after a 5-point gain in the market, I predicted that the market would give up all those gains and go on to hit new lows again. And I think that's pretty much what it's doing here. Now, at some point, it will find the bottom, but it has failed at every attempt. Now, in a bull market like we had for many, many years, every sell-off was met by buying and a rally, and you made higher highs and higher lows. And now you have just the opposite dynamic going on, where every rally is met by selling. And you have lower highs and lower lows, and that creates downtrends. I mean, as I looked, I probably looked at 200 charts this morning before the show, and every one of them, except for the inverse funds, were in bad downtrends, where you're seeing lower lows and lower highs. And this happens in the market. The market does not always go up. And there are tools out there that you can employ during times like this. I pity the poor folks where their advisor's not doing anything at all. And it continues to hit new lows, and they say, well, stay the course. That's pretty much the mantra in our industry. Okay,
or buy more of what's been going down.
Yeah, buy more. Right, that's kind of been the Kathy Wood mantra. She doubles down on stuff going down. I learned early on in the business to not buy downtrends because you don't know where the bottom is. You're better off buying an uptrend because you don't know where the top is yet. You'll find out at some point, and hopefully you own it when it hits the top. But downtrends are just not good to buy into. You've got to wait until a bottom happens. That was the subject of my article this past week. And I hope to have another article out by next Monday, maybe. I usually kind of expand on the article I write for the newsletter. So you might want to get this week's newsletter. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter that only goes out to clients and subscribers, but you'll get a little preview, you know, kind of a shortened version of an article that we'll more than likely have out next week in Seeking Alpha, because people need more guidance during bad times. It's been my observation. They don't need you during good times. Oh, no, the Bitcoin 66,000, Teladoc 400, blah, blah, blah. Why do I need Gunderson? And then when times get tough, I think people need more guidance than ever during tough times. I've seen two big bear markets. This one could shape up to be the third one. You know, we're down 20-25% so far in a lot of areas of the market. I take it a day at a time, a sector at a time, a stock at a time, one economic report at a time. That's just the way you got to do it. Very methodical. Tesla. Be watching for this over the weekend. Tesla deliveries. What's the key number? 250,000. That's the number on the deliveries. Of course, Tesla had a Shanghai shutdown at their factory. Tesla's chart does not look very good. That stock's now at 662. It was 1,243. That means it's lost about one half of, or more than, yeah, about one half of of its price and market capitalization. It's trying to form a bottom. And that was the second part of what I was going to say. You got to have that bottom put in first. That was the subject of my article. That's not a bottom that I showed you in the newsletter last week. That's still a descending chart, a downtrend. We call that a number four downtrend. Eventually, it will settle and start to level off into a number one sideways trend. Then you start to see a little bit more of a better risk-to-reward ratio, but what you really want to wait for is that sideways trend to start to break out and start to see a new uptrend being formed. And that may take some time. I was interviewed yesterday. I was just contacted out of the blue by a news station in Hong Kong, Hong Kong and Shanghai, they have an English version. And I did a 10-minute interview with them. I don't know if you can find that anywhere out there, but I basically said, you know, it's going to take time. This damage that's been done to the market, it's not over yet, and it's going to take a long time. Who knows how long? We take it a day at a time before it starts going sideways. It's got to build the base. You've got to start getting good news. Inflation needs to start getting tamed. Interest rates need to start leveling off, but clearly that's not happening yet. Taiwan semi-board member lobbies Congress to pass the CHIPS Act. Okay, this is the same act. This is important. Intel also is not happy with the Biden administration, and neither is Taiwan Semi, and neither are the solar stocks, apparently, and the gasoline stocks and the oil and gas stocks aren't happy. Everybody's not
airlines,
happy, it seems.
Airlines,
like the airlines aren't happy. Well, anyways, are you happy? You know, I'm always happy. In an interview with the Washington Post, Taiwan Semiconductor has already started its plant in Arizona because they trust that they believe the CHIPS Act would be passed by Congress, and the pace of construction on the plant would depend on the federal subsidies in the legislation. Well, last week, Global Foundries and Intel made similar comments. The CHIP Act was passed in the Senate last year, providing $52 billion in subsidies for semis. However, it is still not law, as the House and Senate reconciled differences in both of their legislation, including climate change provisions and issues dealing with Chinese trade. So they continue to wait, and it has slowed down the progress big time of building these plants, and we continue to have a massive chip shortage. Just ask the automobile industry. You know, AMD slips even as Northland upgrades the stock. The chip industry looks terrible. The chip stocks look bad. I mentioned this yesterday. Socks is, I think it's triple inverse, the chip index. So we'll be looking at all of this here again today. Now, another reason you have the Dow down today, we have some earnings reports. Walgreens, which is a member of the Dow, they operate 13,000. I mean, there's a Walgreens on every corner. How many more Walgreens and CVS do we need? It seems a little bit ridiculous to me, but that's the way it is. They're trading lower in the pre-market. They had better expected revenue and earnings, but they had a lot of wind at their back from COVID. And with COVID kind of out of the picture for now, that's hurting WBA, which is a member of the Dow. And Walgreens is down 4.6% today. And that's also weighing on the Dow. And you've got a big hospital company, Universal Health. Of course, they had the wind at their back, too. Universal Health is down 6.3% today. They cut guidance over lower patient volumes. Well, that's a good thing. You know, less people checking themselves into the hospital. That's a good thing. But for the earnings guidance. And okay, so the first quarter of, or the second quarter of this year ends today. The earnings season does not begin tomorrow. But in the background, it begins tomorrow. All of these companies that are publicly traded on the end of a quarter like that, they close the books. All the sales are in. They count for the sales. All the expenses are in. They've paid all the bills. And what's left over is called earnings. Those earnings will be compared with the same quarter last year and the estimates. And then they'll give guidance. Fasten your seatbelts. Earnings season on the way. We'll be right back. You gotta go where you wanna go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, obviously, on a day like today, the only thing popping off the page are the inverse funds. You know, other than a few story stocks like the Alzheimer stock that I mentioned, it's inverse funds that are leading the way. We own quite a few. I want to say we own maybe 12. Different inverse funds right now.
Yeah, and we've been out talking with clients. I mean, we probably haven't been in terms of this defensive. Haven't been really this defensive since early days of COVID in March of 2020. Really,
that's exactly right. And I'm just going to go through a few. Okay, we mentioned SoGu yesterday. It's breaking out again today. That's the inverse SPAC. But here's some of the leaders here in the market today from a percentage point of view. Webs, WEBS. It's an ETF. And then there's basically two major families of inverse funds, Direction with an X in it and ProFunds. Those are the two major purveyors. In fact, they might be the only major purveyors of the inverse funds. Webs is three times inverse the Dow Jones Internet Composite Index. So I'm thinking that that's probably a lot of the FANG stocks, the Internet Index, that's going to be Facebook. That's going to be probably Netflix, anything that's delivered to you, the streamers, maybe the commerce stocks, Amazon, etc. Webs is up 10.5% today. Relative strength. Okay, I haven't seen this since COVID. And I'm not so sure they got to relative strength numbers this high during COVID. 99 on Webs. One of the strongest stocks in the entire, or ETFs in the entire market. You've got an upside down market. You've got the stocks that used to, you have the stocks that were at the top last year, and in 2020 especially, they were at the top, and the inverse funds were at the bottom, and now the inverse funds are at the top with the relative strength, and it shows up in my app. You know, my app, beststocksnowapp.com, has all the inverse funds in it. I have a category under sectors. There's two different sectors of inverse funds. One is just the inverse funds, and the second one is the leveraged inverse funds. Webs would come up in the leveraged inverse funds, and you can look up where they're ranked. what their return. Their returns have been terrible over the long haul. They're used during times, you know, of great stress in the market. Okay, the second best inverse fund today is BERZ, B-E-R-Z. What is this one? It's pretty small, but it has traded 84,000 shares. It's up 7.7%, three times leveraged in the performance of the FANG Innovation Index. Well, I guess that is more stocks in it than just FANG. Now, you can look these up on Yahoo or Microsoft or Morningstar, and you can actually see what's in them to see if you're overlapping in any of these. BERZ, B-E-R-Z, three times inverse, relative strength 99, the Solactive FANG Innovation Index. I got to believe it would be somewhat like SARC, which is inverse of the Cathie Woods Innovation ETF. Okay, clouds. The clouds got in my way. You know, that was both sides now. Judy Collins. CLDS. CLDS. Direction, daily, cloud, bear. Two times inverse the Cloud Computing Index. Well, there's a lot of cloud stocks out there. Salesforce, let me think, ServiceNow, Snowflake. I would imagine a lot of the cybersecurity stocks might be in the cloud index. That thing's up 8.9% today. That's another direction fund. And then I'll just do one more here. This is one that we own. The small caps look terrible. The Russell 2000, I've mentioned this before. You know, if you go through it, I've downloaded all 2,000 stocks of the Russell 2000 and made a little index. Well, they're already, but in my app, and, you know, and so you could look within the Russell 2000 and see what the leading stocks are. There's a lot of junk in the Russell 2000. A lot of junk in the Russell 2000. And in a time like this, people aren't into junk stocks other than speculating here and there. So that seems to be a natural place to pick on. And there's several inverse funds that go opposite of the Russell 2000. Now, TZ1 is the most bang for your bucks because it's three times inverse the Russell 2000 index. It's up 4.3% today. So there you go. There's just a few. I have, let's see, inverse funds. How many? I have about 65. I think I have them all in my index, in my charts that I look at almost on a daily basis. All right. Well, you know what? If you would like to get this week's newsletter, I'll give you my latest honest update on what I see in the market, the macro picture, the earnings picture, target prices, the best inverse funds now. And if nobody's doing anything, okay, I watched the market go down 80%. That's the NASDAQ in 2000. And I can tell you that most money managers did nothing along the way. Well, we're down 20 to 25 now. I don't know if we're going to go down 80. But still, the reaction was the same. They did nothing. The bond market is in a horrible bear market. And if you're sitting there holding a bunch of bond ETFs and nobody's doing anything, I don't know. That's not good in my opinion. Somebody's asleep at the wheel. So if you want to give us a call, I had several accounts come to us this week. I sold almost everything, Barry. There was nothing good in those accounts. And they're probably happy today that they don't own those anymore. All right, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.